Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so somebody tell me about Mulan. What's going on? What's that?
Wiley.
Wiley. You're being called upon. What's Mulan in the first video trying to be? Somebody, what's she trying to be? Something that she's not. What was that? Married. She's trying to be married. All right, what else is she trying to be?
Perfect daughter.
What else is she trying to be? All right, wait, let's break that one down. How is she trying to be the perfect daughter? By getting married. We link those two together. By trying to marry someone, okay. And how is she attempting to do that? What's that? Going to the matchmaker. How did that go with the matchmaker? Not so well, right? I mean, that's where we are in Reflections. She's tried to put on the proper attire and the proper makeup and the proper mannerisms to go to the matchmaker so that the matchmaker could try to smooth out the rough edges and make her suitable for a man to marry her, right? But the matchmaker has to learn that those rough edges are like as rough as sandpaper, right? That there's really no smoothing them out and really making her ladylike. And so she goes away brokenhearted. I mean, who am I looking at? This isn't me. This makeup, this outfit, this what I'm trying to be. But do I disappoint my father in not being the perfect daughter and trying to be who I am? So then in the second video, what's she trying to be?
Something that she's not.
Something that she's not. Here we got a great theme, don't we? What's she trying to be? A soldier, right? And a man. She's trying to be a man. She's trying to be a man. She's trying to be a soldier. How's she doing at that? Not as well as Wiley did on his test, right?
Exactly.
She's not doing very well. Of course, none of them are. Even the real, true men are not doing very well, right? She's again trying to be something that she's not. So in the movie, if you know the movie, how does she have to find who she truly is and where she's going to succeed? Where does that come from? Hi, Danny. Danny, where does Mulan find who she's supposed to be?
In her failures.
In her failures. That's a good answer. So who is she really? What's at the heart of who Mulan is? Come on, I thought you guys loved this movie. Or do you just love the music? Who is she really? Sum up Mulan at the end of the movie. Who is Mulan? A leader. She is a natural leader by the end of the movie, right? But what is she leading with? Is it desire to be perfect? No. Is it trying to be something she's not? Or is it having the heart for a cause and leading people where it's needed most? I think that's probably it. What's that? The last one. I think that's a good answer. Well, it's this part of Mulan that drives us into our story of Joseph as we continue this story of who he is. Remember, Joseph started as the youngest, well, the youngest for the most of the story, the second to youngest by the end, of Israel's sons. The one that should have the least amount of privileges, doing the most grunt of work, and basically being the slave to the older brothers. But here he is the favored one because of who his mother is. And so he gets to be pampered. He gets to be home instead of out with the sheep. He's having dreams showing that he's going to be able to reign over his brothers and his father and his sisters. And jealousy takes over. And the big brothers decide to throw him in a pit and then sell him off to slavery to some Ishmaelites. And so last week when we got to our story, Joseph found himself not in a pit and not in slavery, but landing himself in jail by not succumbing to temptation and being accused of things he didn't do by his slave master's wife. And so he's gone from pit to slavery to jail. And at the end of the story last week, he had interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker, and had told them to the cupbearer, okay, your dream is telling you that you're going to be restored into your position with Pharaoh, and you'll be all good. And told the baker, well, you're going to be hanged. Well, they get called out of the jail, and Joseph tells them, all right, when you get to Pharaoh and the dreams come true as they're supposed to be, make sure that you give a good word for me of what I've done and of the gift that I have for interpreting dreams. Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely, totally, Joseph will do that. But when the cupbearer, that's the one that survived, has the dream come true and is in front of Pharaoh, does he remember Joseph? No, not in the least. And so here Joseph remains in prison as kind of the slave of the prisoners. And so we get into today's scripture, into chapter 41, and it says right here at the beginning of 41, when 2 full years had passed. Here Joseph's been sitting in the prison of Pharaoh for 2 whole years, praying that some miracles that is going to happen and get him out of there. And after 2 years, it says that Pharaoh has a dream. He has a dream about 7 fatted cows grazing among the reeds. And after those 7 fatted cows are there, then these 7 skinny, gaunt-looking, not-so-healthy-looking cows come along. And then the 7 not-so-healthy-looking cows devour the 7 fat, healthy-looking cows. Well, Pharaoh wakes up in a panic going, what in the world was that dream? Realizing he was dreaming and going, what in the world do these 14 cows mean? And so he tries to fall back asleep, and he finally falls back asleep. And when he falls back asleep, thankfully, he doesn't dream about cows, but he starts dreaming about ears of corn. And he sees these 7 ears of healthy, fat corn. And then he sees 7 ears of corn, thin heads of grain, swallowing up the 7 healthy, full heads. Grain, not corn. My other one, I could have sworn, said corn. And then Pharaoh woke up and realized he had a dream, and now he's panicking again. Why am I dreaming about these cows and this grain? What in the world is going on? And so he starts begging people, somebody's got to interpret these dreams. Somebody's got to tell me what's going on. These mean something. What is it? And he's searching his household, and he's searching all the magicians and everybody, and nobody can interpret the dream for him. And finally, you've seen when the light bulbs go off, the cupbearer hears, Pharaoh has these dreams, and nobody's able to interpret them. And the cupbearer goes, oh, Pharaoh, guess what? There's this Israelite, this Hebrew guy down in your jail. And he interpreted my dream, and it absolutely came true. You got to call this guy up because he's able to take care of you. He's able to figure out what's going on. And Pharaoh says, absolutely, go get him and bring him back. And so he brings him up, and he says, I hear that you're able to interpret dreams. And Joseph says, I just do what God tells me. It's not me that interprets them. It's God. Tell me what your dreams are. And so Pharaoh tells him, 7 good-looking cows, 7 not good-looking cows, 7 not good-looking cows eat 7 good-looking cows, and 7 grains of 7 heads of grain, healthy looking good, and 7 grains not looking so good, and 7 grains that take care of 7 grains. Okay, what's all these 7s about? And Joseph says, I know exactly what God is telling you. And he says, first of all, he says, your dreams are doubled because they're really going to come true. Your doubling up means that God is going to make sure this is going to happen. And what's going to happen is, starting immediately, You're going to have 7 good years in Egypt. The land is going to be plentiful. It's going to produce like it has never produced before. For 7 years, things are going to be absolutely great in Egypt and surrounding it. But then guess what? After those 7 years of an abundance, there's going to be 7 years of famine, and the ground isn't going to produce anything. Doubled up, because God says absolutely this is going to happen, and it's going to happen right now. He says, Pharaoh, if I were you, I'd put somebody good in charge of your stores, and I'd be saving up for those 7 years of famine during those 7 good years. And Pharaoh looks at the guys around, he says, okay, we need somebody that is reliant on God that can do this job. Joseph, you are hired. And so Joseph gets put in charge of all of Egypt. Pharaoh says, you are in charge of everybody except me. You do what you have to do, and I prove it by putting my signet ring on you. I put on a robe, I do a parade, and everybody knows you're in charge. And Joseph made him store up for those 7 years. 1/5 of everything that grew and produced, they stored up, and they stored up, and they stored up. And in that 7 year, when it finished, the famine struck. And it says all the surrounding areas, all the surrounding countries were hurting in that famine, but not Egypt, because Egypt had stored up under Joseph. They were able to take care of themselves, and people came to them begging for grain to feed their families. So you see, Joseph, he tried to be the good son and the good brother, and it landed him in a pit. And he tried to be the good slave, and it landed him in jail. So where do things become good for Joseph? When it's not about Joseph anymore, but it's about God and what God was doing in Joseph. He had to find out that his place wasn't in Israel. His place wasn't in the pit. His place wasn't in Potiphar's house. His place wasn't in that jail. But his place was to be right in Pharaoh's court, right when it was needed, to interpret those dreams so that Egypt would store up those grains so that they wouldn't starve, and for what's going to happen next week when his brothers begin to feel the hurt of the famine. But he had to look deep down inside. He had to figure out who he was, and who he was in those moments when he interpreted those dreams as God told him to. You know, us, we've got to reach deep down inside a lot of times to try to figure out who we really are. I mean, last week I talked to us about not letting walls build up around us, not letting our fears, not letting our things that we're ashamed of, not letting other people block us from being who we need to be. But I think the essential factor in that is us needing to really dig down deep inside, really, truly look ourselves in the eyes in the mirror, really, truly get down on our knees talking to God to figure out who we really are. Because we can always try to be something we're not. We can always try to dress differently than is us. We can try to talk differently than us. We can try to act differently than us. We can try to live a life differently than the DNA in us says that we are. But when we're trying to be something we're not, when we're trying to put on something that's not us, most of the time we're going to trip and fall on our face. Because that's what happens when we're not us. So how do we figure out who we are? How do we figure out who the person that God created that we see in the mirror is? Well, the first thing is we got to look in it and see, and I know I've said it before, but I'll keep repeating it because I think it's a message we struggle to hear. But we got to look in the mirror, and we've got to realize that what's in the mirror is God's creation, and it's good, even if it's imperfect. To be able to look at it and see the positive qualities of who we are. Not to look at the negatives, not to look at what we don't have, not to look at where we lack, not to look at our failings, but to look at the good parts of who we are, to look at the strengths that we have, to look at the gifts that we have. I mean, Joseph, that was a pretty not so good situation that he had. But that gift for interpreting dreams, to be able to hear the words of God, to be able to hear what God needed done, and to be able to stand up. Do you realize the kind of courage that takes to stand up in front of Pharaoh and demand that Pharaoh needs to take care of his people by hoarding grain into silos? But here he was with God on his side, having just the courage, just the words, because of the gifts that God had given him and his willingness to use it. For us, it's to take that inventory and to figure out what the best parts of us are, what those things are that we excel at, what those things are that make us happy. Because when there's something that we're doing and it makes us happy in it, most likely that's one of our strong gifts. Because God's going to give us joy when we use our gifts. Even if there's difficulty, even if there's pushback, we're going to find a joy in it. Because it's where our calling is and what God wants us to do. To find those things that make us happy. To find those things that give us fulfillment. To find those things that, like Mulan, take care of the people that we care about. Because that's when she discovered who she was when she was stepping up to take care of the people that she loved and the people that needed her to be Mulan and not anything other than that. And so I challenge you to figure out who you are, who God's created you to be, and what are the things, the gifts, the talents, the qualities, the skills, the passions that God has given you to be that person that he's created you to be.